deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar-Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 38 of Flashpoint. Great to be here as always. I've got with me tonight two of the most wonderful co-hosts a co-host could co-host with. Firstly, Simon, how are you, mate?
I am awesome.
Oh, jeez. That's very positive for you. Not that you're not a positive guy.
I'm not.
No, true, you're not. And also the irrefutable, irreplaceable, infamous Ed Wilson. How are you?
Infamous?
Yeah.
Infamous?
I suppose you've got to be famous to be infamous.
I like that. Yes. I suppose I would have to be famous to be infamous, or possibly I'd have to be infamous to be famous. I'm not entirely clear on that, but basically, you know, I'm handling things. I'm dealing
Excellent.
With things.
Thanks. Excellent. And we've got some technical issues. You'll see when Ed cuts in, there's a little bit of hiss, but hopefully it doesn't sound too bad to you, and we're working around it.
Thanks. Maybe I'll just be Cobra Commander now.
Maybe it's the crowd outside your window.
Wanting to put a stake through his heart.
Yeah, all the burning brands.
And the ever mysterious Mark is not joining us.
Who?
And Mark, I know you'll be listening to this. Mark actually has stopped playing Star Wars The Old Republic. And actually, hiss for him. We need to put a stake through his heart. I've run into him a couple of times on WoW. We had a nice chat the other night. And he's going to drop in here and there when circumstances permit, but he'll stop being a co-host ongoing. Well, I'm honestly sorry to hear that, but that's just the way things go with games, and we'll definitely have Mark back. And thank you, Mark, for all that you did contribute. So it'll be just the three of us this week and probably ongoing, although I've got a couple of ideas to discuss with these other two wonderful gentlemen about whether we have a fourth person or have some different people come in. So we'll look at that.
Can the fourth person be a panda?
Oh, I think
I want a cobra.
Ooh.
Cobra from G.I. Joe. No, look, let's not go there.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. No pandas. I think they'd quite rightly be riots. So let's get straight into the one key piece of Republic news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic news.
Really hard to go past the announcement this past week of the fact that Star Wars The Old Republic is going free to play. So I don't think there was an enormous surprise for anyone except for the timing of it. I suppose it came a little bit sooner than what some people expected. And so, yeah, from August, people can play for free, albeit in a limited way. Now, before we get into the nitty-gritties of it, just getting comments, probably starting with you, Ed, what was your thoughts when they first made the announcement?
My thought? Yeah, that's pretty much my thought. It was, oh no, here we go again. I knew that they were going to have to do something to boost subscriber numbers. I knew that they were going to have to do something to boost revenue. I knew they were going to have to do something to satisfy Electronic Arts, who, you know, put a lot of money and effort and, supposedly a lot of effort anyway, into trying to make this game. But that's all I'm going to say right now. I don't want to rant yet.
Okay. Simon.
Yes. Oh, you want
to... You've done that. No, actually, it doesn't get old, though.
No. I think all in all, it's the logical move. I think it was the inevitable move. And I don't think it's going to be a bad thing, although you always end up with cries of, oh, it's going to be pay to win, and there's going to be a bunch of 8-year-old noobs ruining my Star Wars and all of this sort of thing. And obviously these are valid concerns, they're valid concerns in a void of information, which BioWare have been very good at supplying in ample quantities.
Supplying voids.
Void, yes. Yeah. Yeah. If we don't talk about it, and if we don't mention it, and if we just pretend it's not there, then no one's going to notice.
Wait a minute. If we have nothing about something, that's still nothing.
That's exactly right.
Well, no, because there's no such thing as nothing. Nature abhors a vacuum. So you end up with trolls filling any void True. That's created.
It's still nothing. Like
yes, or pundits. So pundits and trolls.
Interjection. It is still nothing.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad we're doing nothing. Excellent.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your contribution. That was actually, nothing was your opinion, as I recall, Ed. So, yeah. cheers.
All right, so, yeah, that's overall comments. And, I mean, as part of the announcement, they haven't given all the information, but there are eight key pieces that they gave as a comparison between free-to-play and those that continue to subscribe. So the first one being that everyone, whether free or paid, can play right through to level 50, which makes sense. Otherwise, it would sort of defeat the purpose and would probably be seen as too obvious a move to get people to subscribe if they made the free-to-players drop out at, you know, level 30 or 40 or whatever. So any thoughts on that one, guys? It just seemed a fairly obvious one to me. Yep, nothing. Good.
Well, one thing, if the level cap goes up, which it probably will in the near future, will the free-to players be able to go to the new level cap?
Well, given that we hear nothing, I'm going to say yes, they will. And apparently the next level cap's hitting in October and we'll be able to level up to level 63. And free-to players will be able to do so as well. So there you go, heard it here first.
You just made that up.
Yeah, oh, well, I won't hear anything anyway.
At least he didn't say 42.
No, that's right. So you go back. Well, although I wouldn't put it past, we could actually have a reverse level cap. That would be funny. You actually play and lose experience points.
Every time you die?
I felt like that yesterday. I felt like I was going backwards. But anyway, I think the level cap's probably a bit too far away. There's plenty of other points that need clarification once you get past the happy, slappy, lots of colour, pretty pictures and not too many words spot on their webpage. It's too much marketing, but there's no information. Not enough information.
No, there's a lot of indistinct stuff. But, yeah, the 50 is confirmed. Limited character creation options for the free-to-players. So you'll have to subscribe if you want to be able to, you know, do particular species. My recollection is it's pretty much only the human species that free-to-players can create. So, again, I suppose it's a differentiation. Most people won't care. The really dedicated role players are probably subscribers anyway.
Mm.
So, yeah, any thoughts on that, Ed?
Nothing. I think maybe Cyborg could... Well, no, I'm not going to do something about nothing. I'm going to do nothing about something.
That's more of the modus operandi, so that's good.
Well, I'd be surprised if Cyborg was also accessible, since it's almost indistinct from the humans anyway.
Yeah.
They're pretty much the same skin, with Cyborg has a few, you know, Cyborg bits. That's all it is.
Agreed. Simon, yes. Nothing on that, the character creation?
No, not really. I think that's a pretty... logical one to start charging for, because everyone's got their favourite species, some of which are not there yet, although who knows what might be available in the store further down the road. Perfect sort of thing. I mean, the store is going to be full of vanity stuff, I would imagine. There's not going to be anything with stats, at least not in the beginning.
Agreed again.
So maybe, and maybe the promised Cathars are going to be something that's obviously going to be dangled under people's noses.
I still think this is much ado about nothing.
I'm going to mute you in a minute. War zones. Free to players will have a lesser number of war zones they can complete each week. I mean, they haven't confirmed exactly what the limitation is. Again, no biggie there. The rabid PvP is all, you know, probably be still subscribers, a bit like the character creators, the role players. And I'm sure there'll be enough PvP numbers that can be completed each week to keep the casual people happy. So, again, a bit of a non-entity. Flashpoints and space combat. So I've combined sort of two there. So again, only subscribers will have unlimited times they can play flashpoints or space missions. Again, it'll be just interesting how many the free-to-players can play, because if they give them a fairly generous number, it's really not a differentiator in that how many people really play 50 flashpoints a week as a proportion of the playing population. Hey. Now, I knew you'd come in.
Yeah, I play a lot of flashpoints in a week. Well, when I'm not busy looking for work or various other things, I play a lot of flashpoints a week, and I play a lot of space combat. But then,
yeah, but you're a subscriber.
Yeah, and I'm weird, according to all my guildies. But
that's helped too.
Sorry.
Well, yes.
That's not a
and
criticism.
The point is?
No, it wasn't a criticism. That's the same reason I play space combat.
I like blowing stuff up in space, so sue me.
I like trying to blow stuff up in space in different ways each time. You have competitions with yourself. It's fun.
Oh, yeah. Try to get all of the bonus missions without torpedoes?
Oh, that's a good idea.
It's almost impossible in most of the missions.
That, is a challenge.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Try to destroy the bridge of the Star Destroyer or the communications array of the space station without torpedoes. It takes about 25 missiles.
There you go. So I've only played 2 space combat missions, so I can't talk.
And you are making ado about nothing.
That's right. Operations.
For God's sake, mute him.
Yeah, I'll just edit him out in the end. Operations. This is where probably the biggest demarcations happened between free-to-players and subscribers, in that if you're a free-to-player, forget playing Operations. I won't be that you just can't do it. I won't be surprised in the future if they allow you to buy Operation access to particular operations or whatever. But at this stage, you want to raid, then you subscribe. I don't see that as a bad thing. I think you've got to have some difference, and that's the obvious one to do.
Yeah, I think considering that the guild that I'm involved in on Ebonhawk is a big raiding guild, and they do operations, you know, maybe not every night, but you know, every 3 or 4 nights when the lockouts ease. I mean, this is what they do. They go in, they run Karagas Palace, they run Eternity Vault, they run Denova, and they do it on hard mode or nightmare mode. So, yeah, I couldn't see a free-to-player or a casual free-to-player, you know, just jumping into that and, you know, saying, hey, oh, yeah, I want to go into Denova with all blue gear, yeah. It wouldn't end well.
No, and I mean, even a dedicated free-to-player, if they want to get into that stuff, they should probably fork out a little bit more money. So, yes. Simon?
About operations?
Yeah.
Well, considering how much of the end game content, or, you know, the 50 onwards, really consists of raiding as much as anything else, it makes sense that that would be something they would charge for both during the leveling process and at end game.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's consistent at least.
Well, if they didn't have that difference, there wouldn't have been much difference overall. So, yeah. Travel features and the GTN. So both of them, again, there'll be less access, although less access to travel features amuses me. I don't know whether they're going to have longer cooldowns on the quick travel stuff, or you can't access some taxis. Who knows?
Are you going to be able to access the legacy? That's my question.
Yeah, I've heard a few questions. It hasn't been confirmed. But I would have thought so. Yeah.
You think?
Oh, you wouldn't think so. No, I don't know. I'm just sitting on the fence now. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of the legacy system was to reward people who've put a lot of time and effort and money, in-game money, into their characters. I mean, I've known a couple of people in-game who have 35 million credits.
Whoa.
And I'm like,
how do you spell that in chat?
What?
Yeah.
Just G and lots of A's ended in an H.
Oh, right.
Actually, there's an R in there somewhere. I'm not sure where. I think it's G-R-A-A-A-U-G-H.
So there you go. No, it's a good point you make about the legacy is about rewarding, you know, the people that put the effort in. So I'll jump off the fence and say I agree it should be only for subscribers.
Yeah, I think so. I think that put it because they want to give a reasonable incentive to get people in. And I think once you start getting into the game, and if you want to create extra characters with other races other than, for example, just what we were talking about before, humans and cyborgs, then legacy kicking in as well would be icing on the cake, I think. If they make it available to free to players, it just devalues the whole thing completely.
And actually, the race thing is probably why Legacy wouldn't be available, and they'd have to make some change where it'd have to recognise free to players could only create certain races and all the Legacy interrelationships. I know they're class interrelationships, but I could still see there'd be a glitch there that they'd have to change to make it work. So you're probably right. Subscribers only. We'll say that along with level 63 level cap, we'll state categorically it will be only for subscribers, unless proven otherwise.
Yeah,
and then when they change their minds, you will have egg on your face.
No, we'll just say that we disagreed with them, and no one will listen back to this podcast. That's the advantage of podcasting.
They'll listen just to see how wrong we were.
Yeah, true.
And as far as I think quick travel is the logical thing to provide limits on. I don't know whether they double or triple the cooldown. What does it matter at the moment? About half an hour? 30 minutes?
Yeah, it's half an hour, I think, yeah.
So,
it might be 30 minutes, not half an hour. I can't remember.
Oh, right.
Yeah, with all the legacy perks upgraded, I think it's 20 minutes with all of the perks that you can buy. But, of course, those are specific to a single character. They don't transfer across the entire legacy.
No, I haven't seen 20 minutes. I've seen some people with a third of an hour cooldown, but anyway.
A third of an hour is 20 minutes, yeah, I thought.
I'm taking the piss, mate.
They're just completely...
It's all good.
You were trying to get me annoyed about something.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know what?
We mentioned
it's
Ubisoft
not going to work.
We're going to do that.
Because I'm not going to... No. It is nothing. It is now nothing to me. I will never... No rants.
So that's the travel and GTN. And then the last one, which I wrote in the piece I wrote during the week that I had to laugh at, was that subscribers get priority login. So if there's a queue, subscribers get first dibs, which it's totally valid and a good thing. But I can't remember the last time I saw a queue, probably when 1.3 initially went live, there were some small queues.
To be perfectly fair, there probably will, once this thing kicks off, there probably will
be limited
queues. Because they're just from, and again, I'm bringing up DCUO, but I got to tell you, it's deja vu all over again. I've been through all this before. And the server populations just skyrocket, and they will for this game as well.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point, actually. So I feel bad now. That's a great point.
No, it's just prior experience, but it's almost carbon copy.
And
It's reasonably good marketing sense, I would think. They're opening it up to the less discerning market.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it makes sense to give priority login to the subscribers because you couldn't do the opposite. And if you had lots of queues, then your subscribers are going, "Why am I bothering?" So, yeah. I will talk about the secret world later, but I noticed on the weekend when they had the free-to-play weekend, when I first logged in, it said it was full, But when I double-clicked on my character, it still logged me in. So I'm actually wondering whether that might exist over there as well. But anyway, that's just a rhetorical question. Please don't answer.
It wasn't really a question. It was more of a statement.
Statement, yeah. I'll take that as a statement. Interrogative. Tony Jones.
What's the difference between a statement and a question? Smug answer. One has a question mark.
Oh, God, I got some heavy editing to do tonight.
Yeah, I think so. Someone needs to lay off the drugs. It could be me.
Yeah, that's right. So, free to play, there it is for what it is. I didn't sort of make a statement on whether I think it's good or bad thing. I think you're right. It's got to grow numbers, or if it doesn't, then it's a damning indictment on the game, and the game is quite good. So, and look, Lord of the Rings Online went from strength to strength with free to play, I believe. Not that I've ever played it.
Lord of the Rings grew revenue 300%. DCUO grew at 700%.
Yeah, so there you go. So here's hoping.
Mm. And just another thing as well. At DCOU, when they started off, were making promises about frequent, you know, monthly content upgrades and this and that, and it totally failed to materialize, and the game was buggy and just didn't sort itself out. And people quit after the first, you know, the included 30 days play. Servers became ghost towns, went free to play. Content upgrades have been occurring very regularly and quite frequently since, and server populations have been substantial. They're always very high whenever I log in. So if any of that sort of echoes the current situation, it's not necessarily a bad thing, because I think it bodes well for the game, and it might finally start getting the recognition it deserves, because it's still a good game despite, you know, a few niggling qualms we have here and there, and it's only going to get better.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, on the recognition, I mean, during the week we wrote a story about the fact that the game developers awards in the US, Star Wars: The Old Republic won a bunch of awards for a whole range of areas. So it's the industry recognises it's a pretty bloody good game.
Yeah.
So I still like Secret World better.
It's a different game. It's a very different game from most of the other MMOs I've played. And it's Star Wars. I would play it no matter what, because I'm a Star Wars fanatic. But a lot of other friends of mine who are not Star Wars fanatics have gotten into it, and they've gotten their families into it. And they said, you know, this is fun. This is, you know, it's not hard to play. There are some things that take a little getting used to. And, oh, yes, there's room for improvement, but it's fun. And that's the whole point of the game, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. And I hope it's the point of most games, but, yeah, absolutely agree. So free-to-play, there it is for what it is. And then related to that is this week there was an investor call. So Electronic Arts talked to the media about its financial performance, and Frank Gibbo from Electronic Arts basically cited Star Wars The Old Republic as a miss compared to Battlefield 3 as a hit. But that said, we're still fairly upbeat about the that things were still going to be okay, that they see 500,000 subscribers as their baseline for viability, and that they're still under the million but well above that. So make of that what you will. And, you know, free to play, although it won't, it, you know, it'll help that, even if it's just people buying bits and pieces. So
what's the median compared to WoW? That's the question. Are they comparing it to WoW, or are they comparing it to other MMOs?
Well, the 500,000 is just the base subscriber numbers they need to be able to pay for what they need to pay for each month. Compared to WoW, you just can't compare it to WoW, even with its drop. WoW's still 10, well, more than 10, it's about 15 times the size, and it'll only get bigger in the next few months again once Mists of Diarrhea hits.
You can't really compare anything to WoW. I think it really is a special case for a number of reasons. But as far as the free-to-play stuff goes, just going back to that for a second, there is, I don't know if anyone's ever played it, it is diabolical, but it's a free-to-play MMO based on the Clone Wars TV series. And it's browser-based, and I think that has about 7 million players, registered players.
Wow.
It's free. It's horrible, but it's free.
That's right.
So you imagine if you're going from something that craptacular to this, same price point, I think it really is going to be quite a seductive thin end of a $15 a month wedge.
Yeah.
Use your aggressive feelings, boy. Let the hate flow through you.
Hey, it's seductive.
Yeah.
See, the words seductive and UED just don't go together in my head, but anyway. That's just me.
Redacted, possibly.
So
now you're making much ado about nothing again.
Edit.
Yeah, and I'm actually. The sad thing is, I can't be asked editing. So just write in and complain, please.
Okay.
So
that was not me. Sorry.
No, not you. The investor call. Sums that one up. And so we'll move on to the lore update. This week, Ed's going to talk about a very iconic droid. Ed.
Statement. How many of you have heard the term meatbag? Query. Does anyone know, do either of you know, where the term meatbag originated from? In what game?
Bender, Futurama.
He used it, actually, but it was used by somebody else before then.
The Fonz on Happy Days?
No.
I give up.
Daddy okay. Warbucks.
Yeah. No, actually, Meatbag was used in an obscure science fiction film in the 1950s. It was used by Robbie the Robot when he was controlled by an evil scientist. But I don't doubt that people will be able to find earlier references to the term. But where we know the term from, we as in Star Wars fans know the term from, is from, as David said, one of the most iconic characters in Star Wars lore now. The most homicidal droid you will ever meet in your life, at least, oh God, we hope so, HK-47. We run into HK-47 in the Old Republic twice, actually, in-game. Once on the Empire side, once on the Republic side. Both of them are high-end flashpoints, so I won't ruin them. Suffice it to say, he's bad news. He hurts when he shoots people, which stands to reason. Because when we first met HK-47 in Knights of the Old Republic, he introduced himself by saying that he was designed for etiquette, protocol, and assassination. Yeah, he's an assassin droid. Straightforward, right? I mean, he's designed to kill people. No biggie. Except that, the good, there's good news, bad news type things, you know? He's really good at killing people. He's not so good at not killing his employers. Throughout the Knights of the Old Republic storyline, you can ask HK-47 various things. And when you do, you really have to be careful if you want to be true to the light side, because he's rather dark and he prefers things rather dark. And if you say the wrong thing to him at the wrong time, suddenly you have negative 706 affection to him. And there's no way to get it back. The basic premise for those who have not played Knights of the Old Republic,
yep,
is that HK-47 was built by a man named Revan. He was built as an agent of selective destruction, and those are his words. After the Battle of Malachor V, where most of the Mandalorian fleet and a good chunk of the Republic fleet were both wiped out, Revan said, maybe this using super weapons might not be the best idea. maybe I want something that will cause destruction on a more personal level. So then he created HK-47. HK-47 met Malik, became Darth Malik, who was Revan's apprentice at the time. Malik asked HK-47, you know, what HK-47 thought of Malik. HK-47's response was he informed Malik of his meatbag designation, and Malik was not pleased. Revan was so happy, was so tickled by what HK had said, that he reprogrammed HK and he used the meatbag reference everywhere. So, you know, one of the first things that we saw in the for the Old Republic, when they were talking about, I think it was in 2010, actually, PAX East or one of them, in 2010, we saw a scene with a bronze skin droid, and he said, "Prepare to die, meatbags." And everybody was like, "Yes! Because it's HK-47, he's back, and he's bad. He's just so much fun." And he's voiced by the same actor in the in Knights of the Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic 2, and the Old Republic. He's voiced by the same actor. So he's got the same mannerisms. He's got the same thing. He's always saying, you know, statement or interrogative or mocking query or whatever. He's always, you know, that's HK-47. And you really can't, I don't know how to define him besides, you know, he's a homicidal assassin droid who just sort of happens to be working with you most of the time. You really don't want to get on his bad side, as everyone who's run either the Foundry on the Empire side or the False Emperor on the Republic side has found out. He one-shots people. Which, you know, makes sense. You know, in Knights of the Old Republic, he was talking about, you know, making a 10-kilometer shot with a laser rifle. Ouch. What was it he said? Oh, yes. You know, happiness is making a 10-kilometer shot with a Mando Motors sniper rifle straight into the, you know, colloidal membrane of an organic and watching the being's head explode. But that's part of the draw of HK-47. He's bad, but he's really good at being bad. And he's just so freaking hilarious while he's doing it. I mean, he doesn't intend to be. You can tell he doesn't intend to be. But it's just so perfect. That's pretty much it. You know, we've got the HK-51s that are coming out that I'll go into next time. But HK-47 stands as one of the most iconic characters that wasn't in the actual movies. He's one of the most iconic characters in Star Wars now. I've seen action figures. I've seen, you know, people actually cosplay as costume play as HK-47. And they even have a voice modulator to make it sound as if he's, you know, it's actually the droid. I don't know whether I would ever actually like to work with HK-47. He would make me very, very nervous. I certainly would never want to be his master, since he went through 22 of them before Revan found him again in the Knights of the Old Republic game. Oh, you need to, if you've never played Knights of the Old Republic, you need to play through and you need to talk to HK just to listen to some of the stuff he does. Because, you know, he's talking about, oh, you know, I go in and one of my favorites, he's purchased by a corporate executive who needs a protocol droid, then realizes he has this, that HK has assassination protocols. So he's like, okay, I'll eliminate some of my competitors in the company. Turns HK loose in the building. 104 dead, 10 minutes and 104 dead coworkers later, HK tosses the guy out the window. Because with everybody who he had killed, the guy was next on the list for CEO. And the guy hadn't specified he wasn't supposed to be on the list. Oops.
Sounds like a typical day at the office.
Sounds like a typical CEO. They never specify things properly. And anyway, any organic can knife you in the eye while you sleep. So it's not just the HK series that can be damaging.
No. I'm not saying he's not... I mean, yeah, he goes down fairly easily, actually, in the game for such a dangerous assassin droid. But it's just the way that he was portrayed and the way that they did things and the you know, statement, mocking query. You want me to do what, master? Or statement, one of my favorites. Statement. I believe the miniature organic, Jawa, is attempting to gain your attention. And to look at him and say, you believe? You know, there is a 98% chance that the miniature organic is trying to get your attention. There is a 2% chance that the miniature organic is trying to cause trouble and simply needs to be blasted. That may be wishful thinking on my part. You're just like, okay, yeah, that's HK-47. I mean,
he's a well-loved droid. I keep going to say robot.
Robot, droid, whatever. He's well-loved. He is one of the most beloved bad guys who's on the good guy's side. He's just so awesome that you can't beat HK-47. Well, actually, you can in various games, and you can, but you can't top him for just sheer. He did not just say that.
There we go. Another quality lore update. Thank you, sir. As I've said before, we get lots of great feedback on these, and they're appreciated because I know they take some work, even for you.
May I just make a quick addendum?
Please do.
Thank you. For anyone that doesn't know, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2 are available as a PC bundle pack on many fine online retailers like Amazon. They have been updated. There's no new textures, nothing else. The main benefit is they won't crash or run horribly on Windows 7, which, trust me, if you've ever tried to run any of the older versions, they are horrific. They crash all the time. So if you want to try it, very good idea to give it a go. And for those of you that don't know, Obsidian, the people that made the second one, KOTOR 2, sort of got a bit rushed because, surprise, surprise, LucasArts can be jerks. So I know, it's shocking, isn't it? But they had to basically dump a couple of storylines and entire planets.
About a third of the game.
Yeah, and I'm sure one of them had something to do with HK. But
later, the good news next is time.
There is some fan-restored content available. So if you do decide to get KOTOR, or KOTOR 2 more specifically, you can go to deadlystream.com, and have a look for the instructions on how to download the patch so you can actually play the missing content. That's the end of the addendum.
That's pretty damn cool.
Thank you for the addendum.
Excellent.
And it is very cool. It is something that adds a lot to the game. But also, it is something that does not work with my version of Windows 7.
What are you using, 64?
Yeah. And I know they're coming out with a patch supposedly that will work, that'll make it work, but I miss KOTOR. I miss it.
Oh.
Yeah, I just feel
never mind, moving on.
Yeah, I feel sad.
Yeah, I did for a second there and then I got over it.
So before we...
And you guys are getting mad at me about saying things about something and nothing. Sheesh, guys.
I'm not mad. I'm just intolerant. There's a difference.
Well, I know that.
Oh, good.
So before we wrap up, I've promised to do a short verbal review of the Secret World MMO, and I know, Simon, you've played it as well, so I know you'll jump in as well. I think I said well about 8 times in that sentence.
Well, at least you're not saying going forward every second breath.
True. So, yeah, for the exactly a week ago, I finished downloading the client for The Secret World, so I paid my something like $49 to get the digital download and started playing last Sunday night and, you know, put in a few hours between then and now. And have to say, look, talking on Twitter and Facebook and that, people are very polarized around it, and I'm writing a full review on the site in the coming week. People either absolutely hate it or they, you know, are really taken with it, and I'm very much in the taken field. If you're after something that's not fantasy and not science fiction, that's sort of set in the real world, in that the initial starting areas of, depending on which of the three, what do you call them? They're not classes. Three...
Factions?
Cabals? Yeah, well, cabals are the cabals groups. Yeah. So anyway, the three groups. I know I rolled a Templar and a Templar called Wheezen Henry just to surprise everyone.
Shocking.
No.
Yeah, but Wheezen Henry McGurkin Squirt, I believe. And
that's a good name for a Templar.
I tell you what, there's some, well, like an MMO, there's some bad names, but this one you can get away with murder because it's a whole new franchise. But basically, I start off in London, and I was just blown away from the very start on just how great the graphics were for an MMO, and they're so different to anything else out there, let alone the gameplay, which you don't level up as such. You gain experience, which buys you experience and skill points that you use towards whatever weapons and that you're working on. There's a whole lot of crafting stuff that's done quite different in some ways to MMOs. You disassemble stuff and reassemble it in particular patterns to create new gear. You kill lots of zombies, so that's where the whole current day human thing sort of fades out. There is a whole zombie apocalypse sort of feel to it, or the secret world, I suppose, where all the monsters and zombies and stuff have merged into the real world. I think it kicks ass. So while I think of other cool things I like about it, Simon, what was your impressions?
I thought graphically it's a very, very attractive game. I like the way the markers work to guide you where you need to go. They're not too obtrusive. I think it's a very slick game, and considering they've only just had their first update, I think in a lot of ways it seems more polished than some other MMOs that maybe get pushed out the door a little bit too soon. But no, not just talking about Tor. I mean, it's not alone in that category, not by a long shot.
No.
I have to admit, despite the fact that I downloaded the thing well ahead of time, I got little notices when I tried to run the launcher that was saying, making rude remarks about my graphics card. So I went and got a new graphics card installed that Friday at 2 o'clock. I logged in when the free weekend started, played for about 90 minutes, then thought going to bed was a good idea, and woke up full of energy and enthusiasm to get my Sith Warrior a bit further ahead. So I ended up playing about 8 hours of Tor.
Well, that's what it's about.
So my experience is fairly limited with the game, but if you haven't managed to play any of the Celebration Weekend, and which we'll be wrapping up, well, not even sure what time tomorrow, but fairly early, have a look on Twitch or YouTube, because a lot of people have been recording game video, and that give you a very clear idea of just how moody and spooky and diabolical this game is.
Yeah.
I think there's an awful lot to it, and it's a lot of people complained with Tor that it's too similar to WoW, or it's not different enough to WoW. Well, Secret World is well different. And if you're looking for a change, you're looking for something to shake up your perceptions and your entrenched habits, I think you could do a hell of a lot worse than The Secret World. I think it's a game that's got a lot of potential, and I can see it doing some really interesting stuff further down the track too.
Yeah, beautifully put. And the puzzle aspect isn't to be sneezed at either. So the different quests are great. So there's your standard go and kill 8 of these, although they're nowhere near in as much abundance as any other MMO I've played. And then there are surveillance quests where you've actually got to sneak around and not be seen. And then there are the investigation quests where you actually have to solve puzzles. And so the one, and anyone that's played it in detail will have heard of the famous Men in Black Van quest, which was glitched until the update about a week ago, where you come across a van, there are two bodies there, you've got to log into the laptop in the back of the van, and you've got to investigate the bodies to work out what the password is. And it's all that sort of stuff. It's very different. The main complaints I hear about it tend to be, I think, from people that can't be asked puzzle solving. They just want to kill zombies and be leveled up and have everyone look at how cool their gear is, which is so not what this is about.
In that case, they're playing the wrong game.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the case. You might like the franchise, you might like the idea, but it may not be the game for you, in which case, get over it, stop whining.
That's right.
I'm just sick of people whining because the game... Okay, suggest things by all means. Developers like feedback, well, to a point. But, you know, just get over yourselves. If something's not doing exactly what you want, maybe you should move on to something else.
Exactly. So
you're saying the S word.
What's the S word?
You say I can't say the word something, but now you're saying it.
What did I say? I wasn't listening.
To yourself? No, I don't listen to myself either.
No, of course I don't.
No, God, no.
Very little I say has any value at all.
At least we're all honest with each other.
It's all about nothing. It's all about nothing. I'm actually being serious for once. People are screaming and yelling and ranting and raving about how they want this particular MMO to be their own, you know, what they dreamed of, or this other MMO. You're talking about The Secret World. We don't want puzzle solving in this game. It's not about anything at all. They're simply yelling to be heard.
Yeah. It's like, and it's
as
like
far as I'm yeah, no, sorry.
No, you're right. And I haven't actually heard any specific criticism. People saying I don't like puzzles. So I think they tend to whinge more broadly. And then I think when you get down to it, that's what it is. And the amount of times you see in general chat in Secret World saying, can someone tell me what, you know, the answer is to this? And quite rightly, the regulars go piss off and find it out for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, isn't that the point?
Yeah, well, that's right.
Duh! It is.
But that's the thing. It's the journey. It's like the race to level 50. I mean, or the guy that did Diablo, completed Diablo 3 in like 12 and a half hours. What a dickhead.
What?
Yeah.
God.
I mean, enjoy the journey, for God's sake. Exactly. Really.
And it is Diablo 3.
It's not a race. And Diablo, if you win, no one cares. So get over yourselves.
And jeez. Diablo 3 is a pretty journey. But I tell you what, if ever there was a game with no longevity, it was that. Once I knocked over Diablo, I've had no desire to go back whatsoever.
Oh, I've heard some bad things. Diablo 3 has had an
awfully bad speaking of games with longevity, and I need to make a plug here, so please don't beat me, guys. Please don't beat me, David. Please don't beat me. I recently pre-ordered a copy of Darksiders 2, a THQ game, Vigil game, that's going to be coming out on the 14th. I played Darksiders, the original Darksiders. I bought it on Steam when it was on sale. I didn't have any idea what it was all about. It looked kind of cool. Okay, you're playing as one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You're playing as war. You need to find out what's going on. You caused the apocalypse early? You did what? And the whole point of the game is war doesn't have a clue what happened. He doesn't have any idea at all what happened. So he needs to figure out, needs to go through. And he's one of the horsemen of the apocalypse. Is he going to walk up to people and ask them?
Or is he going to tear them apart with a really big sword?
Hopefully he'd ride up to them, because generally they're mounted.
Well, not for most of the game, but that's another story entirely. Another story entirely. Needless to say, at the end of Darksiders, and this is not a spoiler because it's been available on YouTube and it plays out on YouTube. At the end of Darksiders, this other character asks War, you know, what will you do now? You're going to be hunted. Will you fight a war with everyone alone? And War looks at the person and says, no, not alone. You look up in the sky and there are three meteors streaking towards the planet and you're like, oh, shit, here come the rest of the horsemen. Uh-oh. And that, at that moment, you're just like, give me the next game. Give me the next game now, now, now. I've been playing Darksiders since I bought it in, yeah, it was January 2011. I've been playing it since then, and I have been loving it since then. I'm still finding stuff in Darksiders. It's kind of dated. The controls are kind of glitchy in Steam. It doesn't matter. You're one of the horsemen of the apocalypse. Who cares? You're tearing things apart. You're ripping things apart. You're pulling demons apart. Oh, it's just so much fun. Sorry. That's good.
There's two recommendations. No, well, the Oceanic Game is about other games besides Star Wars now, although this podcast is very much about Star Wars. It's good. If only we all had the money to review two every week.
Yeah. And in Darksiders 2, in Darksiders 1, you played War. In Darksiders 2, you played Death. Enough said.
I bet he's a healer.
Death the healer.
Well, if he was in Star Wars, he'd be a healer.
True.
Everyone's a healer in Tor. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, even the Guardians can heal. At least according to the people who keep asking our guild tank to heal.
Mm. Bounty hunters that kill you and then stick your head back on. I quite get that.
See, that was a nice segue back to Star Wars to finish off. So I'm assuming neither of you have anything else you want to add now, so we can wrap it up.
I'll just say hello to the guild Praxium, which my Sith Warrior has joined somehow. First of my alts that has actually joined a guild. Actually, first of any of my characters that's joined a guild. So, hi, guys. I'm not going to tell you what his name is. You can just guess.
And see, it's funny you talk about Sith. I won't get into it now, but Sith War is what I've been leveling up the past week as well. So there you go. Ed, nothing from you? Good.
There is something from me.
Yeah, there's nothing about you.
But it's something about nothing, so it's nothing.
Yes.
And so, again, if you'd like to write in and complain about Ed, you just need to email in at contact@toroz.com.au.
Let me get a pen.
Why would anybody?
I apologize for the email address in that even though we're not Toroz anymore, I just haven't got off my ass to change over the email. So it's contact@toroz.com.au. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/SWTOROZ, because again, thanks to Facebook, you actually can't change the URL. Unless you provide them basically your birth certificate, passport, and bank account details to prove that you're a business, and then they might think about it. So I gave up on that and thought I'd just leave the URL the same. And the same for Twitter, twitter.com/SWTOROZ. Given that we're all about Star Wars, it doesn't really matter. So thanks, everyone. We'll be back in a fortnight, everything going well, for episode 39. And thanks to you two boys, as always.
A pleasure.
It was always a blast, meatbag. Sorry.
No, it was good. And we'll see you in a fortnight. Bye.
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 From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.